Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to be taking a look at air quality to start the show today and talk with you about ozone. Generally found near large cities, but there are some higher than normal levels recorded near Sheboygan. We'll be talking with our guest about that. Brad Pierce, physical scientist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, leads the Lake Michigan Ozone Study for the UW Space Science and Engineering Center. So we'll be visiting with him. But first, Michelle Johnson joins me. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning, Larry.
Great to have her here because I know she can help me a lot as we talk about your support. It's an essential piece of funding for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. This drive, it's your time to take action. So I hope you'll make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we did pretty well last round, didn't we?
We did. Last hour, we heard from 30 new and returning members, and we want to thank all of you who made your contributions last hour. Right now is a great time to call, a great time to give, because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,500. This generous match is from a 9XM Leadership Circle member from Menominee Falls, and it means that they will match every dollar that you give this hour.
And of course, it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So, look, you can double your support right now for the programs you love. If you want to give $20 a month, hey, it'll turn into $40 a month. That's wonderful. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Larry, do you think that when our founders started WPR 100 years ago, that they could have imagined where we'd be today?
No.
No. 500,000 listeners a week would enjoy 24 hours a day of programming, that we'd have a comprehensive website at WPR.org, and that we'd have tens of thousands of hours of shows available on demand.
And today we can't imagine where we'll be 100 years from now, but we can know that just as our founders did 100 years ago, we're creating an amazing future. And you make that future happen when you give at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
You are an essential part of that future. And you connect with Wisconsin Public Radio for information and great conversations and entertainment each and every day. 9XM leadership gifts of $100 a month or more are critical in supporting that connection for you and for others across the state.
Imagine if you give $100 a month, that would turn into $200 a month during this hour. Keep your connection strong to WPR and to all WPR listeners with a leadership gift of $100 a month or more. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
This drive, we're offering a special thank you gift, the all-new 16-ounce WPR travel mug. We asked a few people, what will you do with your new travel mug?
I put iced tea in travel mugs. I put water in travel mugs. Travel mugs are not only for coffee. I'm just putting it out there.
I would primarily drink coffee out of this. Good, strong coffee. Dark roast, as Mother Nature intended coffee to be.
I would use this every day for my decaf and possibly my iced decaf.
Ask for your WPR travel mug when you give $20 a month or more right now.
And how do you do that? You go to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552 and make your pledge during this fall membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Michelle Johnson, and we're asking for your support of WPR. Maybe your gift is $10 or $15 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
It's an investment that gives back, whether it's the reliable news and statewide conversations, entertaining programs, the Larry Mueller Show, which has been a part of your day and week for so many years now. In that sense, it's a no-risk investment. So if you've never given to WPR before, but you've been listening, become our next new member right now.
And very simple to do that. We're here because you're here, both as a listener and a donor, and let's make that first ever pledge. That's a really simple one to do. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888 202-2552. And then thank you very much for supporting WPR.
Giving is easy. All we need is your name and your contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay.
And it just takes a few minutes to make your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio. Your support right now makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Larry, we are working toward an ambitious goal this hour. We want to hear from 40 folks who want to pledge their either their new support or their continued support to WPR. Our dollar for dollar match is still in effect. We have a 9XM Leadership Circle member from Menominee Falls who will match dollar for dollar contributions up to $4,500 this hour. But you have to call this hour in order to make good on that match. You can give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far. And when you give, you're also entered in the drawing for the Centennial Celebration Package. And I have to say, it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. Are you going to be there for that?
I'll be there, you betcha.
Yeah, I'm planning to be there as well. What about you? Would you like a chance? One way to do it is to make a contribution right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And Michelle, will you come back and talk with us again?
I'll be back if you'll let me.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we're going to turn our attention to Brad Pierce. He is a physical scientist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and he's the leader of this Lake Michigan ozone study for the UW-Madison Space Science and Engineering Center. So we're going to talk about what's going on with ozone in parts of our state and what they're doing to look at it. And certainly we'll be answering your questions as well as we move along. What questions do you have about measuring Wisconsin's air quality? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, or you can post your questions on our Facebook page, and certainly we'd love to hear from you. And Brad Pierce, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me, and congratulations on your centennial year.
Oh, well, it's been a lot of fun. I enjoy talking about it. But I've also had a long-standing interest in ozone, and it goes back. I've been around forever, and I can remember when we were talking about aerosol cans and making sure that, you know, we got rid of the types of cans that could create ozone problems. But you know what? Let's just go back to sort of the basics about this, about ozone itself. Explain for us what ozone is and why it's both a good and a bad thing.
Okay, yeah. So let's start with your recollection, which was aerosol cans and ozone problems. That was actually because of chlorofluorocarbons.
Ah.
And that was the ozone problem that we were dealing with there was ozone loss. So it was not enough ozone, and it was not enough ozone in the stratosphere where most of the ozone is. So that's well above where we live. It's up above the tropopause. It's where the weather is very different, and there ozone is good. So that's good ozone. It's good because ozone absorbs ultraviolet radiation.
We have a buzz, and I'm trying to figure out what the heck it is right now. Excuse me. Let's see. What can we do to fix that buzz? I am not finding anything wrong. There we go. We got it fixed.
Okay.
I knew we'd get it fixed sooner or later.
Sure.
I'd find the right button here. It has nothing to do with ozone. Ozone did not cause that buzz. Let's go back. I'm sorry.
So we were talking about good and bad ozone. The CFCs that we started regulating in the 1990s with the Montreal Protocol were part of an effort to stop the ozone loss that was occurring in the stratosphere. And that was important because the stratospheric ozone layer protects us from ultraviolet radiation, which,
yeah,
as you know, caused sunburn, could cause skin cancer. And so that was a very significant success story about controlling the substances that lead to ozone loss in the stratosphere, the protective ozone layer.
And we did a pretty good job of that.
We did a very good job. In fact, the ozone The reduction in CFCs not only helped with abating that ozone loss, but it also helped with kind of getting a jump start on some cleaning up some climate change gases. So that was a win-win. It was an example of science leading to regulations leading to change.
Yeah, that's
great. What we're talking about now, though, is ozone near the surface in the air we breathe. And there, ozone is not good. Ozone, if we're breathing it, has adverse health impacts, both to people and also plants and animals. So there's agricultural impacts as well. And so that's more of what we're looking at with this ozone study that I led this summer.
And what is it, Sheboygan? You know, you kind of centered your work around Sheboygan to some extent. Why was Sheboygan having higher ozone readings?
Well, so Sheboygan was one of the focal points of the study area. We had a number of different instruments that were at Sheboygan, some of those from the Space Science and Engineering Center, but we also had a number of instruments at Zion, Illinois, which is another site that's right along the coast. And what we find is that along the western shore of Lake Michigan, and this is something that's happened for decades and decades, we get these exceedances in ozone, so very high ozone values within a very narrow band along the western shore of Lake Michigan. We actually get those same kind of exceedances in a band maybe a little bit wider, but still a band over on the eastern shore in along the Michigan shore, so Holland, Michigan, and that area. And this has been observed for a long time. We've had monitors along the coast since the early 80s. And these exceedances that are confined to the coast are something that have been perplexing and difficult to understand. So yeah. there was studies years and years ago. The first Lake Michigan ozone study was actually in 1991.
Okay.
And they looked at ozone in a similar way. But ozone in 1991 was very different, and the processes and the amount of precursor gases that lead to ozone production were very different in 1991 than they are now. It's still a problem now, and so we're back looking at it again.
Yeah, and what does ozone do to, you know, too much of it, what does it do to us or maybe to plants or animals?
So to people, ozone is at high enough levels leads to changes in it affects your lungs.
So okay.
It affects asthmatics. It affects your bronchial airways and congestion. Long-term exposure can also have impacts for cardiovascular things. So
okay, so not a good thing to have
right.
too much of it.
That's right. And particularly, my wife works in a school and deals with children. And in fact, there's a number of kids that are have breathing issues or maybe asthmatic, and they actually need to know on a daily basis what the ozone is so they can protect their health.
Yeah, so it's on kind of on either end of the age spectrum then where it
that's right.
can, you know, either the elderly or those who are very young are probably the most immediately.
They're most immediately. So they're the most sensitive to lower concentrations of air, of ozone. Actually, even at some concentrations and at levels that we hit sometimes this summer, and we used to reach these levels frequently, then anyone is susceptible, particularly if you're doing heavy physical activity and things.
Does it have any impact on plants or other animals?
Yes, it does. So on plants, it's kind of, when they talk about the ozone effects on plants, they're looking at lower concentrations, but over longer duration. So instead of these events, which occur with very high values, you're looking at kind of sustained background values during the whole growing season. And what they do is they lead to kind of burning of the leaves and changes in its ability to photosynthesize and definitely affects crop yields.
Yeah, so a place like Wisconsin with the amount of corn and soybeans that we grow in this state, that could have a big impact then. If you
agricultural, and then we're also concerned about the impacts of ozone in some of the forested regions in northern Wisconsin and northern Michigan.
Oh.
So again, this is kind of a regional event. What we see in the monitors, because we don't have monitors out over the lake, is we see these elevated levels of ozone along the shore. But what we suspect, in fact, is that there's elevated levels of pollution, the ozone precursors, and ozone all the way out over the lake. And often transported up quite far north.
Oh. Talking today with Brad Pierce, physical scientist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, leader of the Lake Michigan Ozone Study for the UW-Madison Space Science and Engineering Center. Hope you'll join in with your own questions and comments as we talk air quality and ozone with him at 800-642-1234. You can also post on our Facebook page or email us at ideas@WPR.org. We are in the fall membership drive mode right now here as well, and your support is so critical. It's the foundation of our budget. It's what makes us go, and it's your go-to place for great discussions as well. So there, got go in there a couple of times. We'll get back to our guest pretty quickly here, but Michelle Johnson has come back in to help me encourage you to make your gift of support to the programs you count on at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Michelle, how are we doing here?
We're moving right along, and we want to thank the folks who have called in so far or made a pledge so far this hour. We're working our way toward a goal of 40 new and renewing members this hour. We have heard from 10 folks so far, so we're on our way, but we have some work to do.
But we've got some good things to talk about, too.
Right. We have some, as if you needed any extra incentive this morning, we have some. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect from a 9XM Leadership Circle member from Menominee Falls. So right now, this hour, your gift of $50 to WPR turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and so on. So you can take advantage of this match right now and double your support for WPR programs like The Larry Mueller Show when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking and talking to Brad Pierce, and it just reminded me of the kind of great quality of experts and guests that we have here on Wisconsin Public Radio and certainly during this show. How many times can you just pick up the phone and talk to somebody like Brad, or maybe the editor of a magazine, or a politician, or the author of a book? The Ideas Network brings these experts right to you. To help make it possible, I hope you'll give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This kind of direct line to experts, this kind of direct line to your neighbors and friends for a conversation, that's just so rare these days and precious, and it's right here each day on Wisconsin Public Radio. If you are looking for the best way to make a gift to WPR, become a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you make automatic monthly contributions from your bank account or your credit card. A lot of people give $15 a month on the plan, some $100, but the amount is up to you.
As a sustainer, you're an ongoing member of WPR, providing reliable funding for your favorite radio station and your programs. So please do give now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it, sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I spent money at a silent auction thinking I wouldn't win, and I did, and I won art. That was honestly a little creepy.
1976 MGB, that hasn't run in 20 years. I regret it, and I see it every day in my garage, and I regret it even more.
From creepy art to lemon cars, we've all made questionable decisions about how we spend our money. So it might be time to make a few smart ones. You can start by supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR. So make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That is right. Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Michelle Johnson, here to raise the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and this program on the air. And whether your pledge is $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we certainly count on your gift.
That's right. The key here is that it's a collective effort. And the beauty of making a voluntary donation is that you are the one to decide how much to give, because how much you give is not nearly as important as the fact that you do give.
Yeah, and since contributing is your choice, and because WPR is something you value, you will find the donation the right amount for you, and you're going to find out that it feels pretty good, too. I can tell you that from personal experience. Find out right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. Many new members give $10 or $20 a month, but you decide the amount that's right for you.
It's easy to take Wisconsin Public Radio for granted because you tune in to WPR, and every time you hear something good.
Yeah, and if you travel around the country, you're going to realize what a gem we have here in Wisconsin. We are really proud of WPR, and you can be too, because you make it possible with your support.
Don't take it for granted, because it is something special. Help make it possible with your pledge right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Again, that's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We are going to turn our attention back to our guest, Brad Pierce, right after this. We're taking a look at ozone tracking over Lake Michigan with our guest today, Brad Pierce, physical scientist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and he leads the Lake Michigan Ozone Study for UW-Madison Space Science and Engineering Center. Questions for him as we move along. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page. And you know what? Let's take a question. Mike and Rhinelander, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Well, in this discussion of ozone, I understand that too much or too little of a lot of these things can be detrimental, but my question really is on ozone generators that are marketed as cleaning pollutants out of interior of buildings, to freshen the air, get rid of stale odors. And I'm wondering just how that fits into this whole ozone issue.
You know, I thought about that. That's a good question, but I've thought about that too. Brad, what about it?
So, Mike, that is a good question, and it's going to take a kind of complicated answer. First of all, they do, you know, they use ozone to cleanse the air. You're right; it takes out those smelly pollutants, and that's because actually, even in the atmosphere, when you're producing ozone, it's part of a catalytic cycle that sort of consumes a lot of what we call volatile organic compounds (VOCs). Things like benzene and toluene and a number of different chemicals that might be in indoor air. And you're right, ozone generators cleanse the air by removing those. But that's also part of this catalytic cycle that makes ozone. So we wouldn't want to have ozone generators indoors that were leading to ozone levels that were unhealthy levels. And those ozone generators are producing ozone at lower levels than what would have health impacts. But the fact that they're able to clean the home is interesting. You know, after a thunderstorm, sometimes it'll smell very, very fresh.
Yeah.
That's actually from ozone coming down from the stratosphere, that good ozone, through that thunderstorm and cleansing out a lot of the other chemicals through oxidation. So you're right, it does freshen the air. But again, in the same way that bleach might clean your clothes, we don't want to have lots of bleach.
Yeah.
So things that clean, they clean things for a reason. It's because they're oxidizing things. And high oxidation levels, if you're breathing it, can be adverse for your health.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. So the generators would not be producing sufficient ozone to cause problems for a majority of the population.
So I'll give you my personal opinion. I bought a hot tub a few years ago, and I had a choice about whether I wanted to have an ozone generator in there. And I decided not to because I didn't want to sit there. I didn't know what concentrations it was producing. So in my personal opinion, the ozone generator, I know that I would want to be measuring the ambient ozone concentrations in your house. And if they're above 70 parts per billion, which is the current understanding of the threshold that can lead to adverse health impacts, then I might think about turning that off.
All right.
Thank you.
There we go. Thanks very much for calling. When you were talking about, I was thinking about Oxidol. Remember Oxidol?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where that name came from for that product, wasn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly. Right.
Oh, okay. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Before we go back to the phones, so this research project that you are involved in, talk about the what goes on and what organizations and so forth are involved in it.
Okay. Yeah, this was not just the Space Science and Engineering Center. In fact, Space Science and Engineering was just a small part of it. We actually envisioned this field campaign about 3 years ago. We were at a NASA Air Quality Applied Science Team meeting, and people from the Wisconsin DNR that deal with air quality in Wisconsin, and people from the Lake Michigan Air Directors Consortium, which kind of is a regional planning organization that deals with air quality over the whole five-state area, came to NASA and that science team, which I was a member of, and said, we have a problem that we still need to resolve along Lake Michigan. Can we put together a field campaign to try and collect measurements to address this problem? And that was sort of the instigation of this campaign. It was kind of a bring-your-own-measurement kind of campaign. We didn't. There wasn't an official call for proposals to contribute to this. It was more, let's collect the people that we know, friends of mine and acquaintances and colleagues, and can we put together a field campaign? And we did. We have major contributions from NASA with an aircraft that they flew extensively as part of their program. We have major contributions from different universities, including the chemistry department here on campus, the University of Minnesota, and the University of Iowa, that actually wrote a proposal to the National Science Foundation to get money to support measurements at this Zion, Illinois site. We had funding from the Electric Power Research Institute, which is very interested in understanding ozone over the Great Lakes because they're producing electric power with power plants that are part of those emissions. So we had funding from a lot of different, very diverse organizations. We were able to pull that together mostly because of the collaborative nature of the campaign.
Yeah, it's really great to see that kind of collaboration. Mary in Madison has a question for you, so let's just go back to the phones and to Mary. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, and thank you. I was wondering, I've heard of like carbon mixing with sulfur or something like that, and I was wondering, I don't know if you've covered this, if ozone mixes with other gases or compounds or whatever and produces something noxious.
Yeah. Okay, well, so thanks, ozone mixing with something else create problems?
So again, ozone, I wouldn't call it noxious, but I would call it by itself, it at high levels has adverse health impacts, and that's what we're concerned about here. Does ozone mix with other gases? All the gases in the atmosphere mix together. What's key for ozone is that something we call precursor gases. Ozone isn't emitted by anything. The back of the tailpipe of your car doesn't emit ozone, and the power plants and other industrial things don't emit ozone. They emit ozone precursors, nitrogen oxides and volatile organic compounds. So those are things that are produced as part of combustion. So those are the nitrogen oxides, any combustion of fossil fuels, and then also things that are produced as part of the breaking down of things like gasoline and things like that for industry. So when those two precursors, nitrogen oxides and volatile organic compounds, mix together, they make ozone. And that's how you end up with these high levels of ozone. Those gases, those precursor gases by themselves, some of those definitely are noxious gases, benzene, propane, ethane, methane, things like that. But it is kind of, it's understanding that very complicated mix of trace gases in the atmosphere and the catalytic cycles that lead to kind of recycling of all those gases that you can make ozone when the sun is shining, that was the focus of this study.
Yeah. And isn't it, the effects of ozone, are they greater in the summertime? I think I read that. Negative impacts, I should say.
So ozone production, so the levels of ozone are higher in the summertime. We have an ozone season that is interesting. The ozone season tends to be getting a little bit longer on either the end. So in the Midwest, that ozone season begins in this late May, early June time period along the coast of Lake Michigan because of some very unique meteorology. That's the lake recirculation. But you're right, ozone is bad anytime, but we produce more ozone in the summer. And the reason we do produce more ozone is because there's more sunlight. We need sunlight to drive that catalytic cycle that produces ozone.
And, you know, you mentioned there along the shoreline and something about air currents, and I'm thinking, why the heck is it along the lake, or why would we have higher levels there than we might have inland, let's say? I assume it's air currents.
Yes, it is exactly air currents. So the meteorology of the Great Lakes region, the lakes themselves dictate a lot of the transport patterns that we see. So when we have flow from the south, a high pressure system sitting over the Ohio River Valley, bringing flow along its western flank towards Wisconsin, it can be bringing in lots of ozone precursors, those pollutants, from other parts of the country. But as they move over Chicago, and as they move over Milwaukee, but let's focus on Chicago, they move over Chicago, they get additional emissions from Chicago because it's a large metropolitan area. But then the lake itself, particularly in the springtime, is cooler than the surrounding land. And you get this kind of funneling of the flow. And you actually, if you're out on Lake Michigan during these ozone events, it's fairly breezy and the flow's from the south. And so the lake itself funnels the flow and moves it up along the center of the lake. And then the lake breeze circulation, which is kind of the contrast between the cool water and the warm land. If you've been to Sheboygan or anywhere along the Lake Michigan in the springtime, you can feel that cool air coming off the lake and penetrating a little bit inland. So under this situation, you've made ozone out over the lake. And now you're bringing that onshore. So that's what makes it unique.
That is a great explanation. Brad Pierce, our guest today. Questions for him, give a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Certainly love to hear from you. And I always love talking with Michelle Johnson. We have great conversations. She's one of my bosses, so we have to talk to her
lot. He's talking nice to
Ben. I always talk nice to Michelle. And for more reasons than because she's my boss, she's also a very nice person. And it's great to have her come in today to talk about our membership drive. You rely on the Ideas Network for great in-depth discussions. We rely on you to keep programs like this one strong. So your gift right now, any amount makes a big difference at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552.
This is an especially good time to make that call or go online and make your contribution now to WPR because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,500 this hour in effect right now. But it does expire at noon, so you need to take action on this to double your contribution right now. Generous pledge comes from a 9XM Leadership Circle member from Menominee Falls. And it will double every dollar you give this hour. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR so you can double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as I was listening to Brad Pierce, our guest today, talk about what a great explanation of how ozone, why we need to, there seems to be more concentrations of ozone along Lake Michigan than other places, and how that whole process works. That was a great description. And it's, I think, a great example of the kind of fun, interesting, informative substantial, maybe quirky sometimes, conversations that we have on this show. So I hope you'll take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift, any amount right now that works for you, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Truly. You know, you listen to this program every day, and so you may... maybe you take the Larry Mueller Show for granted a little bit, but
oh,
I can
no.
guarantee you go around the country and tune in other places, and you won't hear anything like this. A way of bringing just great conversation, great information about the kinds of things that affect your daily life right here each weekday on this program. You appreciate it. Now take a few minutes this hour and make a pledge so that this program and programs like it can continue on Wisconsin Public Radio. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll be glad you did.
Yes, you will.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Michelle Johnson asking for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. What are you going to contribute? Maybe it's $10 a month, maybe it's $20 a month, whatever amount you choose. That is the right amount.
That's right. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from a 9XM Leadership Circle member from Menominee Falls. So your gift of $50 right now turns into $100 for WPR. $100 turns into $200 and so on. So take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. We are working our way toward a goal of 40 calls or emails this hour, 40 new or returning members this hour for WPR. So won't you be one of those people right now?
Please do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. We're taking a look at ozone tracking over Lake Michigan and the great research that's going on about it with Brad Pierce, physical scientist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. He leads the Lake Michigan Ozone Study for UW-Madison Space Science and Engineering Center, and a whole many more organizations are involved in that. It's a great collaborative effort. Questions, give a call at 800-642-1234. And let's go to Alex and Gurney with a question. Alex, hi. Thank you for calling. Appreciate your call. Alex, are you there? Well, we lose Alex? Oh, maybe we lost Alex. Well, let's... Alex was wondering about the impact of farming on ozone. Does farming itself have an impact on ozone?
Farming itself, in to the extent that we put fertilizer on the fields before we plant, has an impact on ozone. So the fertilizer contains nitrogen, and as I said, nitrogen oxides are a precursor to ozone. So one of the things that we see occasionally after spring planting and after fertilization is after a rainstorm, you can start volatilizing some of that fertilizer, and you get these little bursts of nitrogen oxides that is something we pay attention to. It's called kind of an area source that we need to contribute to background ozone, but it doesn't drive the ozone production that we're seeing over Lake Michigan. That's associated with pollution coming out of major urban areas and power plants and cars.
Okay. Well, Greg in Madison, it's your turn. Let's go there. Hi, Greg.
Thanks, Larry. Great show.
Thank you.
I had heard that the regulations about reformulated gasoline might be changing, and so I was wondering just how important reformulated gasoline was to solving the problem. I'm pretty sure they put it in place specifically to address the ozone.
Yes. So, as you know, over the last now almost 30 years, the Environmental Protection Agency has been putting in regulations that require regional areas, if they're in exceedances, to put in mitigation strategies. One of those is reformulated gasoline, so that the amount of nitrogen oxides that are released when you burn that gasoline go down. In addition to that, as you know, we've got catalytic converters on cars that also reduce the amount of nitrogen oxides, and those have been very, very effective. Since 1980, we have reduced the emissions of these ozone precursors over the United States by over 80%. That is
wow.
A remarkable decline, and that is because of these regulatory actions by the EPA and both the gasoline formulation and the automobile industry and the power plant industry in putting scrubbers to clean up those emissions. You're right, there is recent legislation questioning that. One of the issues is the catalytic converters that were built initially had a certain lifetime, and they very quickly broke down. So there was reformulated gasoline was something that could work effectively even if the catalytic converters had broken down. I think the debate now is newer catalytic converters have longer lifetimes. They function effectively for a longer period over the vehicle, and so that's why this debate is about reformulated gasoline.
Very interesting. You know what? Alex in Gurnee is back, so let's go back to Alex. Hi, Alex. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, when you were talking about how when the air passes over Chicago, Illinois is a huge, big farming and pig state like Wisconsin, a lot of dairy cattle. How does that interact with the ozone? And you actually already told us how that it interacts with all these other gases, but how does farming in general interact with it?
So, as I said, the way that farming mostly interacts with ozone is through the release of nitrogen oxides associated with fertilization, and that's not a major contributor, in my opinion. The interesting point, and I'm getting away from ozone now, and I'm turning to the other pollutant that we're concerned with, which is aerosols, fine particulate matter. The agriculture, particularly the hog farming in the Midwest, is a major contributor to some of our wintertime problems that we have. But it's not the pigs by themselves, which particularly the release of ammonia by those hog farms mixes with, again, nitrogen oxides, which are from automobiles and power plants. And then you can make nitrate aerosols that are a big factor in wintertime particulate pollution in the Midwest. But farming effects on ozone is kind of limited to the release of those nitrogen oxides from fertilizer. A second thing that we need to kind of think about is how almost everything we do affects ozone. So I was at a meeting the last 2 days that was kind of our first meeting to talk about the results of the field experiment with our science team. And one of the people there was an emissions modeler. He puts together these emission inventories that we then use to try and predict what the ozone's going to do. And they have to pay attention to what they called off-road vehicles, which include tractors and farm implements. They have to pay attention to whether or not lawnmowers are diesel-powered or gasoline-powered, and two-cycle engines and things like that. So things like any sort of farm implement that is being used in the field or any lawnmower that you're using is impacting ozone because it's leading to some of those ozone precursors. And that's why during ozone alert days, the local air quality management area will say, don't mow your lawn today, because we really don't need any more of these precursors to help make more ozone.
Very interesting. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate your call very much. Yeah, you think about the millions of lawnmowers out there. If everybody's running theirs on the same day, there can be some impact then.
Absolutely.
Well, so you said you have some preliminary findings, so you don't have anything you can say, all right, for sure, this or that, but give us a sense of what you've got for findings.
So, again, we're at this point, the data is preliminary. It's not finalized. A key part of science is making sure that the people that made the measurements have verified and quality controlled their measurements before we use them for scientific analysis. But we're starting to get some ideas about what we collected. And that's kind of what we talked about in the last 2 days. First of all, we were very lucky with the field campaign and the timing of the field campaign. Just prior to the field campaign, there was a significant ozone event along Lake Michigan a week before the campaign, which, as someone who's done lots of these campaigns, I was a little frustrated because, you know, the atmosphere always seems to go the other direction. But we actually did capture two very significant ozone events during the period. The first one was on June 2nd, and it was a classic lake breeze-influenced ozone event. We had ozone beginning at the Chewaukee Prairie Monitor at the southern, at the boundary between Lake Illinois and Wisconsin, starting to fire up, and it just moved up the coast all the way up to Door County. Mm-hmm. So it was a classic event, and we had a very nice lake breeze circulation that we were able to measure very accurately with various instruments. And so we've collected an event. We have lots of data for that event that's going to be very valuable for understanding how well we can model that particular event.
Brad, this has been fascinating. Thank you so much for talking with us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, Larry.
Brad Pierce. And where do we go to find the results of the study? Give us the address.
So if you go online and you Google, I would Google NASA space mm-hmm. LMOS, L-M-O-S, and you'll find quite a bit of information, including a white paper that sort of defined our mission objectives prior to the field campaign. What we talked about now is how, once we finalize the data and begin understanding the measurements, how do we get this information out to the public? And so we'll be following up with more popular science type articles in various publications through the
pretty
atmosphere, maybe within the next 6 months or so. Through the atmosphere, which is something that was put out by the Space Science and Engineering, can give you kind of an overview of what was going on.
Thank you again, Brad. Appreciate it very much. We'll have that information up on our Facebook page for sure, so that if you want to learn more, you can certainly take a look at that information. Brad Pierce is the director, leader of the Lake Michigan Ozone Study for the UW-Madison Space Science and Engineering Center. Another leader that we've got is Michelle Johnson, and she's with us to talk about the fall membership drive. Our goal is to bring you topics like this one every single day. Your support helps make it happen. Please give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Michelle, we had a goal of 40 people for this hour, and we're getting close to that goal.
We're close, but we're not quite there. We need to hear from four more folks this hour to reach our goal. We have a challenge grant of from a 9XM Leadership Circle member from Menominee Falls, and call right now. You can take advantage of that challenge grant and double your contribution to WPR. 888-202-2552 is the number to call, or go online to WPR.org and make your pledge. It'll take just a couple of minutes.
People who listen, people like you, provide the most significant share of WPR's budget. Your donation is an investment in WPR and in the programs, all of the programs that you love here. I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and the entire community. It's an investment in your community. It's an investment in your listening. And we're asking you to give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Because you like what you hear, help pay for your WPR listening right now. You choose the amount, whether it's $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount is what's right for you. Become our next new member at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
2017 marks WPR's first 100 years of broadcasting. And even though some of your favorite shows weren't around in 1917, what if they were?
You may have noticed those Liberty Bond posters at the dry goods store. This week during On Your Money, Kevin McKinley weighs in on whether they're right for you. That's coming up tomorrow at 0800.
Okay, so maybe the Joy Cardine Show wasn't around to cover 1917, but we've been through a lot in our first 100 years, and it's all thanks to listeners like you. Here's to the next century of broadcasting. Help build our future now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make your donation right now in support of the programs you count on. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller with Michelle Johnson, here to raise the money that keeps us on the air. And whether your pledge is $10 a month or maybe it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Be like Mary from Platteville, who called and said, I'm giving because I love WPR. Thank you so much, Mary. We love WPR too, and we know lots of other folks do. So show your love for this radio service right now by going online to WPR.org or calling us at 888-202-2552.
Dino from Phoenix, Arizona, called in with a contribution. Thanks for the smart, thoughtful radio. Well, thank you, Dino, very much for your contribution. Now, what about you as you listen to this this show? We're going to be talking coming up about some other things right now. We'll be talking about the Yellowstone Trail. The Yellowstone Trail, that'll be next. But right now, go to WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.